listening to Look Who's Talking. It's a new podcast, and we are Head Start focused. I am Cameron Minter. I am your co-host. And Jessica Coffey, our Head Start director, is the host of the show. How you doing today?
Good morning, y'all. I'm here, Cam.
What are you talking about this?
I'm here. I didn't say nothing.
Oh my God.
You asked a new question.
I said the day was roses and rainbows. And
oh.
See? Oh man. My. She's going to get it right. Next show, we're going to get it right.
I said I'm here, Cam. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's.
Things are good. I just came off of having a 4-week-long cough.
Oh.
Like with allergies and the changing seasons.
Yeah, see how quickly you want to say allergies. Yeah, we don't know what it was.
I got kicked out the office for
yes,
a couple
of
days.
Of course. I understand.
If you cough too long at community action,
it's over. I mean, it's anywhere.
You have to get out the office.
It's anywhere. Yeah. It's anywhere.
But you know what? It was a good time. I actually came back from a training in Puerto Rico where I trained other folks.
I can't stand you.
But guess what?
What?
Did I enjoy my time there?
Did you enjoy your time there?
No, I didn't because I was coughing.
Oh.
Like, it wasn't just a... it was like a...
Oh, my God.
So I didn't want to be around too many people. So I got to look at the beach, but I really wasn't by the beach because I was too scared that people were going to judge me for coughing.
Do you see this?
Yeah, your fingers rubbing together.
I'm playing the world's smallest violin. All right.
What?
No one's feeling sorry for you for going to Puerto Rico and not feeling well.
Cam.
No one's feeling sorry for that.
You should have did the wonk, wonk, wonk.
Yeah, I know. I don't have my sound effects pulled up yet. But guess what happened to me?
What?
Okay. I have found these rings. Uh-huh. Don't judge me. Halftime workout, sometimes workout. Okay. So these sour apple rings, they're like the peach rings.
Love the peach rings.
The sour apple?
Uh-huh.
Now, for those who don't know, I am a diabetic, and there's no reason why me having so many of these sour apple rings should be appropriate.
Uh-huh.
So I've had, my fair share, and I was chewing on one over the weekend, and crunch. I said, wait a minute, this is a gummy. There should not be a crunch in here.
So when I
spit it out to see what was going on, there lies a piece of my tooth.
Oh, no.
Chipped inside. The outside looks good, but the inside, close to the tongue,
uh-huh.
yeah, chipped.
Oh, no. Cam,
yeah.
I would have been devastated.
I know. And you was talking earlier before the show about, our age and turning, 40 and things happening. Well, I'm in my 50s, so.
You're 50 what?
I'm 51. You'll be 52. I'm in my 50s. So,
sometimes it makes a difference where you are.
But you said you wanted a manual for 40. Well, here's the manual for 50. Yeah, you just chew gummy bears and your teeth fall out.
Listen, no one told me about just your body sounding like the Tin Man, not being able to sleep.
Right.
Waking up in the middle of the night to go to the restroom.
Come on.
Like, a fun time for me now is going out to a restaurant and being home by 9 o'clock.
What?
Because I want to be in the bed by 9:30.
Well, yeah. I mean, but you get up really early too, so. That's...
I don't get up early anymore, Cam.
Oh, okay. Well, then there's no excuse.
I know.
Welcome to the club. Do you got your cup of water by the side of the bed yet?
Absolutely. Doesn't everyone?
No.
We need to have a poll.
No.
I want to have a poll.
Well,
do
okay.
you
right.
have water on your nightstand?
But you have to preface it with your age group. Now.
No, I want to go through the age groups.
That's right. That's what I'm saying. Between 18 and 30, do you have water at your bedside?
And 40 and above, or 30, 31 and above, do you have water?
I think everyone has water.
It's an old thing. I'm just here to let you know.
Do you have water?
Yes, I do, because I'm old.
The first thing I'm going to ask our guest is, does he have water?
Okay, we're going to do that. We're going to do that. But since we've been so negative, I think it's time for a coffee break.
So our coffee break today, what I want to say is stop for a moment and focus on the good. There's a lot to be grateful for. You just have to let yourself see it. And since we started the show a little bit negative, let's talk about something positive.
Let's talk about something positive.
Tell me something positive that is going on with you right now.
Positive going on with me right now.
Or something you're grateful for.
I'm grateful for family. Mm-hmm. My mother-in-law just celebrated her 82nd birthday.
Wow.
I mean, you know, they say you might get 75 years, so celebrating 80 plus, everything is a blessing after
yeah.
that. So
I agree.
Yeah,
that's
just good. And being able to celebrate with family. We know we got a new grandbaby, so
yeah.
You know, it's all Spool City right now. He got his shots yesterday.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm sure he cried.
He did. The second shot, though. The girl, she was trying to put him in quick, though. She was like, boop, boop. But, yeah, he teared up a little bit. But grateful for family. So yeah. How about you?
I am grateful for, you know what? I'm grateful for family as well, but specifically in this season.
Yeah.
This comes in a season where yeah. we've lost a lot of family members in our right. family. However, we are still trying to celebrate the greatness Absolutely. Of those people and what they meant in our lives. So just again, family and being able to celebrate others, because you know I like a good celebration.
I know it. Ain't that it?
I'll
food.
I'll be like, Cam, guess what? I feel good. Tomorrow at work, can yeah. you wear purple?
Yeah.
We're all going to wear the same color.
Yeah, that ridiculousness. Yes, yes.
I love it.
Well, I am so glad that we finally switched the mood. You know, we tried, but we switched the mood. But this is going to be a moody conversation anyway.
It is. It is.
But it's an important moody conversation that we need to have.
Mm-hmm.
Who do we have on the show today?
Today, we have Lieutenant Nate Muller with the Lexington Police Department. He is actually, Cam, one of our... may I say consistent policy council members.
What?
Yes.
So, Lieutenant Nate Muller, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I'm excited to be here and glad to be able to share yep. a little information with you guys.
So, let me say this. As long as Lieutenant Muller's been on our policy council. This is the first time we've met in person.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because of that dang on COVID. And
right.
We have virtual meetings
yes.
now, but
yes.
It's really good to finally see you in person, meet you in person.
Yeah, same here. Same here. And I'm excited to be the first one to answer your poll question.
Yes.
Okay,
so
yes, yes.
I am in my 40s. I
yes.
am 42 years old.
Uh-huh.
And I absolutely have water beside every night. There's water by my bed.
Now
there's nothing. There's nothing worse than waking up
right.
in the middle of the night, dry throat, can't
right.
go back to bed. It's terrible.
But
yeah.
for my point, when did you start doing that?
Oh, it was probably a little before my 40s. But as soon as I got into the 40s, it was like water's not optional. Like you're not getting a good night's sleep if you don't have water.
Dude, at 40, that's where it happened. All right. Well, we've got a very serious topic we want to talk about today, and it's child safety, children's safety.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is a Head Start focused podcast, and we just feel that it's important that we celebrate, well, not celebrate, but we talk about these things that are vital for the safety of our children.
Yeah, safety, there are all different aspects of safety. So can you tell us some of the... I guess not the things with safety that come across in your office more often, the things that people aren't necessarily doing right.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to reemphasize, I'm so grateful to be asked to be here as a guest. Mm-hmm. Too often, you know, the police department kind of gets, we'll get a call when either something's happened or there's been an allegation that something, right. something's happened. So any of these opportunities that we get to come and talk about some safety mm-hmm. points and some preventative measures that, mm-hmm. that families can do, that they can teach their kids to try to keep their kids safer, man, that is worth every minute of having a conversation.
Because guess
that.
What? There's not a, well, I don't think there's a manual with raising children and making sure that your house is safe. And, you know, when you think about all of that, there's so many things to take into consideration.
Yeah, it can be overwhelming. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And especially as a parent, I've got three kids and I've got one preteen and then two teenagers now.
Oh, wow. Oh,
and wow. Yeah, you think, you know, as a baby, hey, here's some ways I can childproof my house, you know, put the little bumpers around the sharp objects and stuff. But you start getting a teenager and they're going out in the world and things change. Yeah, things change quite a bit.
Let me ask this. Were you as cautious with the second and third child as you were with the first child?
Oh, no. Number three got away with everything. She got away with everything.
Oh, she fell off the bed. She'll right. be okay. Oh, yeah.
You good? Put some dirt on it.
She's tough, though. She's tough. I always tell a story. I was always worried about her because my son was a little bit older. He's like 4 or 5 years older. And she was playing with a little truck, a little plastic truck. And my son went over there and he kind of, I could see him eyeballing it. And I was like, I better step. I was like, I'm going to wait. And he went to reach for it and she jerked it away and smacked him in the side of the head with it. And I was like, oh no. Yeah, she'll be able to take care of herself. She'll be all right.
She is all right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's get back to what are like some of the, say let's maybe top two or three health and safety
issues that you might be seeing.
Yeah, absolutely. There's been a big change in the conversation about child safety. You know, when, you know, we're talking about being in 40s, when we were growing up, it was all stranger danger. Yeah. You know, that was the big key word.
Yeah.
Everybody grew up learning about stranger danger. Mm-hmm. And there was some good stuff that really came from that. But at the same time, what people have found out since then is that there can be a negative side. It can kind of instill fear in kids, thinking like, oh, everybody's out to get me. You know, I can't even talk to the person at the, you know, asking for my order at McDonald's.
If a white van comes up, did y'all's parents ever say that to y'all? Or was that just a country Paducah thing?
That was a country Paducah thing. Okay. But we was on lookout for everything.
Yeah. We were on lookout for everything, but I walked to school. In elementary school, I walked to school. I was a latchkey kid. Mm-hmm. I was staying at home, probably at an age I shouldn't have been staying home. Yeah. But it was, look for a white van. If you see a white van with no windows, run.
Lord have mercy. Yeah, no wonder you're scarred.
But what are some other things?
Yeah, so a lot of the transition has come from moving kids away from that idea of, hey, you need to be afraid of everybody that you don't know, because statistically, a lot of bad things that happen with kids happen with people that they do know.
Right.
So setting in safety rules that give them the confidence to be able to say, you know, I have the right to be safe. Mm-hmm. I have the right to protect my body. Mm-hmm. Instills that kind of confidence so that if something does happen to them or if somebody's trying to lead them down a road that's going to be dangerous, they have the confidence and they know I can stand up for myself. I can speak up for myself and I can go to somebody who's going to be able to help me with the situation. One of the first ones that we talk about is this idea of check first. Mm-hmm. And it's this idea that, you know, before you go and do something, before you go to a different place, and especially for younger kids, you know, like your Head Start age kids, you know, teach them it might be okay to go do that. Like if you're at the jungle gym and you're going to go to the slides, it's probably perfectly fine to do that. But take a second and check first.
Yeah.
And the idea, you know, we've moved away from stranger and kind of started talking about something a lot of people call tricky people, you know, starting talking to kids about that they're, most of the people in the world are good people.
Yeah.
They love kids. Mm-hmm. They're going to try to help kids out any way they can, but there's also tricky people. And tricky people are people who will try to trick you into doing something you're not supposed to do or something that's not safe for you. And so giving kids kind of this mindset of, you know, here's some of the tricks that a tricky person might use to try to get you to do something that's not safe.
Gotcha.
And then going through some scenarios with them, you know, it might be, there's one called the animal trick. You know, if you're at a park and somebody comes up, hey, you know, I've got a puppy. You want to see the puppy, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
You're teaching them. It might be okay to go see a puppy,
yeah,
but you need to check with your adult first. Mm-hmm. If you're at school, you need to check with your teacher first, and how important that is.
Gotcha.
Well, we're going to come back and we got some more to talk about because as you were talking, I begin to see the videos that I've seen of children being snatched off the street for, I forget what it's called, but where they take them and use them for sexual things and things of that nature. But how to protect for that?
Trafficking.
Yeah, trafficking.
Human trafficking. Yeah.
That kind of got me because you have to really be aware of your surroundings.
Yeah.
All right. We are talking with Nate Muller, and we will return right after this break.
This past year has highlighted the strength of Community Action Council. Every day, our staff works together to help families recover from this crisis. We're educating children at home and in person, helping parents who lost their jobs, and helping households avoid eviction. Our work at Community Action Council has never been more important than it is right now. So why not join us? We have employment opportunities requiring a range of skills from entry level to advanced. Apply online at commaction.com.
Community Action Council's Prep Academies have openings in their Early Head Start program for children aged 6 weeks to 3 years old. Spaces are filling up, so now is the time to apply for the upcoming school year. Every child who enrolls receives a full scholarship for the entire school year. To get connected and ensure your young child gets a head start on their education, call Community Action Council at 859-233-4600. You can also find Community Action Council online at comaction.org. That's comaction.org.
You're listening to Look Who's Talking, and we are talking with Nate Muller with the Lexington Police Department, and we're talking about child safety today. All right, before we went to the break, I brought up something that I'm not even sure we could talk about, but we talked about trafficking and how quickly that can, you know, just change in the moment of an eye. You know, is that something that we're experiencing here in Lexington? Maybe not, but just, you know, maybe some tips to help us, you know, avoid that tragedy.
Yeah, absolutely. Fortunately, we don't see a whole lot of the, you know, the stereotypical, like we were talking about, the white van pulls up, somebody jumps out, grabs a kid off the street, and takes off with them. Fortunately, very fortunately, we're not seeing a whole lot of that.
Okay.
But the safety tips, the really good part about teaching kids safety tips is it prepares them for worst case scenario.
Right.
It prepares them for, hey, just, you know, bullying incidents, thinking safely, being aware of their surroundings, knowing where they are, being with somebody. All of those things can be huge preventative tips for that absolute worst case parent's worst nightmare scenario.
Right. That's what it is. And it's just being aware. I think if you prepare generally for, you know, you have to be aware of your surroundings, that it spills over into other areas that may not be totally specifically addressed.
Right. And, you know, we are in a point in society to where, you know, you have to take all of that into consideration when doing daily activities. Going to the grocery store, going to school, work, church, wherever.
Watching TV.
Being aware of your surroundings and safety. I think this topic is so broad. It's hard to narrow down everything we can talk about. But I do want to go to just talking about the safety in the actual home. What are some of the things that you have been seeing that may have been just increase in incidences that could happen at home?
Home safety, I mean, you think about how much time kids spend at home, and increasing the safety and the awareness of parents. You know, we talk about we want to make our kids aware. Well, sometimes it's also about making adults aware, and we're not always the greatest about being aware of dangers in our society and in our environments or even in our home. One thing that tragically we do see, and one is way too many, but is co-sleeping incidents, you know, where a child may be hurt or there may even be a fatality involving some kind of a sleeping incident with a child. And there's a lot of really good information out there about the best ways to stay safe when you have young kids, especially we're talking like 1 month up to 1 year old. That's really that, you know, the kids aren't generally strong enough to be able to move something if if it falls on top of them. They're not really strong enough to be able to turn away from something if something's up against their face. So, you know, the American Academy of Pediatrics has some great information out there about, hey, what's the best way for kids, these infants, to stay safe when they're in sleeping situations.
And we definitely talk about those things, especially see it sudden infant death syndrome with our families, because we want them to know, you know, what not only what we do at the centers, whereas we're not having like a toys in the cribs and heavy blankets, pillows, things like that, but also educating them, you want this for your home too. You want to make sure that whether it's crib safety, car safety, all of that, that's covered. So it's good to know that we are in lines with what you all have been teaching people.
Yeah. And especially in the homes, it can be difficult. You know, my kids are older now, but man, I can remember when they were babies and we were just exhausted. I mean, all the time, 24/7, we were just zombies walking around. And, you know, you have a newborn and you're feeding, and then you fall asleep, and then the baby's there, and it just takes the more times we can talk about it, the better, just to remind people that, hey, the safest thing is for that child. It's good for them to be in the room, but to have their own designated sleeping space. And like you mentioned, not having blankets in there, making sure that it's a firm surface, not having big bulky pillows or even big stuffed animals or anything. That's really from all the data out there, that's the safest way to keep a baby sleeping safely.
And another thing we touched base on in the program is, you know, when you change routine, I talked a little bit about car safety, and we, you know, go to making sure car seats are safe, strapped in how they are supposed to be. However, we have something in place to where if we do not, if a child doesn't come to our center and we haven't heard from the parent like within an hour, we give them a call, because sometimes parents' routine change. Instead of mom taking them, it could be dad. Did you check the back seat to make sure that you got the child out the car? And, you know, I hear people, you know, sometimes say, I couldn't forget a child in the back seat. But if the child is asleep, that's not your normal routine. You go to work as normal and forget, oh, my schedule is changed today. Then, you know, that's something that could happen.
That's awful. That's awful. And I'm not a big talker in the morning. So you can be in the car with me and we won't say a word, not a word, but I understand that. But another thing that I want us to touch on is internet safety with children. It's surprising to me that we have parental controls on these devices. And just for an example, when we were younger, it was much harder to have access to inappropriate things.
Because we didn't have any of it.
Well, I mean, even to go to the movie, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know, you had to bring a parent or, you know, get the okay. Magazines, because that's what it was at that time. Magazines, you had to be a certain age. You know what I'm saying? So, but they have access at the palm of their hands. And so I think it's important that we also look at the child's safety and what the child is looking at, because there are predators who are looking to get access to your kids through the things that they like. Have you experienced any, I'm sure you have, you know, at a later age, but I just think it's important that we talk about using those parental controls so that you understand or know what's going on, because even some things that we think are safe are introducing things to our children that, like, now wait a minute, what's going on here?
And again, I think that the conversations about these things, we can't have too many conversations about it as a society about about the dangers of the stuff that can be introduced to kids early at an early age. And I see the reports that come through, unfortunately, all the time every week, and it's amazing how young kids can be impacted by online predation from people who are unfortunately out there looking. And you know, none of us would probably ever leave our homes or be in our homes with our doors wide open and just sitting wide open, unlocked, or leave our homes, but we will sometimes allow our kids to walk around with a phone that's unlocked. Right. There's no security measures on it, or a tablet. And so thinking about, that's an open door for somebody to be able to get to that kid. And there's some great programs out there. There's some great safeguards in place. But it all comes down to parents being educated about them, knowing how to use them, knowing what apps are on their kids' phones or on the tablets that they have in their home. And knowing what it is and asking the questions and talking to the kids and being like, hey, if something happens, like, I'm not going to be mad at you, but I need to know, so I can help you, because predators will use, they'll use shame, they'll use guilt, they'll use threats or fear, to be able to kind of worm their way in. And if a parent's there, guardians there, you know, a grandfather, grandmother, somebody that's saying, hey, you know, you can come to me.
Right.
If something's going on, you call me, you come, and we'll talk about this and figure this out.
Yeah, that's so important, is just keeping open the lines of communication. And because they have access to so much, we have to be, you know, vigilant in keeping sure that we know what's going on with our children.
Yeah.
I know sometimes that just letting them look at a cartoon or whatever is peace between you, you know, and the child. But we also need to be watching and keeping aware of what our children are seeing. I think it's really good that we are having these conversations, and we really thank you for being on the show today. It's been a great pleasure, and hopefully we take some nuggets from these discussions.
Well, I'm a big fan of the podcast. I'm glad to be here on one of the early ones. So when this explodes and you got hundreds of thousands of followers every week, then I was there.
We want the whole Lexington Police Department to watch this podcast.
That's right.
So make sure you share it. Are we friends on Facebook? Are you on Facebook?
I am. Oh, I'm a Facebook monitor. I don't usually post stuff, but I'm around. I'm around looking around.
Right.
I'll friend you.
There you go.
All right. Like he said, share the show.
Yeah.
Tell your friends. We are doing some things over here.
And we're talking about important information that folks need to know, whether you are a parent or you're not. I'm everybody's auntie, but this is information I need to know. So when I keep my nieces and nephews, they will be safe.
There it is. Thank you for being on the show, Lieutenant Mueller. We thank you. Keep listening. Keep sharing. You're listening to Look Who's Talking.